Welcome to the Inland Sessions podcast from KSPS PBS Studios in Spokane, Washington. Today, I'd like to introduce you to James Berkeley and Frank Sinclair of The Red Books, an eclectic neo-soul band from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
I'm James Earl Berkeley from The Red Books.
I am Frank Sinclair, also from The Red Books.
Thank you so much for joining us in the studio here at Inland Sessions. Thank you so much. Let's just warm up. How did each of you, I want to ask this for each of you, so I'm hoping you'll each answer, and you guys can fight, you can fisticuffs nice. Over who gets to answer
Love
first,
it.
But how and when did you find music as your personal language?
That's a good question.
That is a good question. It's hard to come up with a defining point because my first memories are just being, I don't talk. I mean, okay, I talk a lot, but that's after a lot of knowing a person, generally. It's very uncomfortable for me. Because I'm like I won't stop once I'm going, you know, and I'm kind of aware of that. But my earliest memories about it are like just having my older and younger brothers telling me to stop singing, please, constantly. And, you know, speaking of fisticuffs sometimes, you know, they just hate you because it's just easier than... but, yeah, so I don't know... very early on, I was just really infatuated with it, and I think it's kind of weird because I'm kind of like a daydreamer type guy, not a very responsible person, and it sort of like it's like invisible, it's like a smell, it's like invisible but with ideas in it, and so moving to me. It also probably didn't hurt that my dad was like all about playing guitar and stuff and was in a folk band when he was young.
Yeah, he put an album out, right?
He put out a CD with like 6 or 7 songs on
cool,
it.
Man.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
So, Frank, you had music in the family at least.
Yeah, he would like teach because I have just all brothers, you know, and part of my edge, I guess, is that I was homeschooled. So
edgy.
Yeah, pretty edgy. So one of the things he would do is he would sit us down and he'd teach us how to sing harmonies together and stuff, you know, like that hello, hello, hello kind of thing. So, yeah, it was just always around and it was never discouraged. It was always appreciated if you made something. It was never like, why would you waste your time or, oh, you think you can do that or something. It was just... glad that it was that it came to exist.
Well, it's nice to know that you understand that support. My guess is you might have talked to people who didn't have that kind of support at home, even though they've become musicians since, and that
right.
It is a trial to kind of get there.
Well, I'm very appreciative of it now because one of my best friends, actually, he's this guy who he's got a great singing voice, and he's, like, so much more handsome than I am. Like, he could get so much more successful than I can, like, so much faster. He's just beautiful. But he's he's also really funny, and he's a smart dude. And he's got a great voice, and he's good at guitar. Like, he has everything he needs, and he also loves doing it. But when he was a teenager, he wrote his... first song, and he had, like, his dad or whatever was extremely discouraging about it and really put him through it about it, of like, oh, what's wrong with you, and why would you write a song about how sad you are, like, aren't I doing a good... It was just all insecurity stuff, you know? And he has a lot of trouble writing songs. So, you know, I would like to think that I'm some kind of hero. Like, if I didn't have a support system, I'd still be like, I'm all about this. And really, I just, you know, I've been programmed to believe in myself. So,
yeah. Well, not everybody has that.
I know. It's a blessing and a curse. We'll see if it works out or not.
Well, what about you, James? How did you find music as your personal language?
Oh, gosh. I love that question. The wording of that's really nice. Yeah, because it is a universal language. That's beautiful. I found music through coping. So I tried to find a bunch of ways with, like, exercise and even fighting and, you know, tried to be a people pleaser for a bit and tried to find a bunch of ways to, you know, cope with a lot of the things that I was dealing with. And my dad taught me how to play a G, which is a chord. And since then, I decided I wanted to get, like, lessons. And I think I was 14 or something and noticed that I felt relief when I would play the guitar, you know. And I heard Jason Mraz's song, what was it? I think it's called Hold Your Own or something like that. It goes, hold your own, know your name, go your own way. And it's this beautiful thing about creating your own path, you know. And I felt like music could be that path for me. So then
And you've stuck to it since?
Yeah, I've tried to escape a couple times, you know, but it won't let its claws off me, so.
What is the feeling that makes you want to try and escape it, that maybe pushes you away from it in the past or has pushed you away from it in the past?
Oh, the business side, you know, just any creative will get that. I mean, any human being. Everyone's an artist, and they just sometimes haven't found their own path. But I really think that if you need to do something, you'll feel a pull. So if you can really trust yourself, then you end up where you need to be. And this is where I've gotten to from trusting my own decisions, you know. I'm a very religious man. I'm very spiritual. So I trust that the Holy Spirit is guiding my thoughts. And that's why I've stuck with music. But yeah, the business side, it really can affect a lot of people negatively where they just get out, you know. But I've, to the best of my ability, just tried to ask better questions to people who are doing what I want to do, you know, or at least somewhat the direction that I want to go, and try to call them up or buy them coffee or something and figure out what the heck, how do you do this, and, you know, not lose your mind while trying to do it. But it's actually very doable. A lot of people think they gotta, like, you know, sell their soul to be successful. It's not true at all. There's tons of work out here for all of the different creatives, and you can create your own path. You don't need to be a household name to be successful in a music career.
I love you stating that. Just the fact, because that is always the dream, right? Is be a superstar. However, there's so many pathways through professional music and being a professional musician. And I know I love getting the chance to talk to musicians about the way that they make it work for them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I'd like to know, between you two, how did you guys meet up and find out that you both have the commonality of music, and that not only that, but that it jives together, that you wanted to work with each other and that you loved each other's music?
You know, actually, I loved your music right away, dude. It was really awesome. I think the moment that I knew, I was like, okay, I'm going to invite him out and, like, be kicking it with you more often. We sat down, had a beer, and we were talking about our dads. I was like, dude, you lost your dad at what year, you know?
Yeah, our dads are both croaked.
Rest in peace. Rest in heavenly power.
Oh, absolutely. Great men.
Yeah.
So that's a story that you both kind of share.
Yeah, we were sitting there enjoying a break before one of the gigs that we were deciding to play together. And
yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. No, we have a lot of weird parallels.
Mm-hmm.
What was funny is, you know, how we actually just met was just going to this open mic together. The only people there were the employees of the bar. And I remember I was walking up with my guitar on my back, and I hear one of the guys behind the bar go, "Oh my God, we got one." And I'm like, oh, that's not a good sign, you know what I mean? Because the only open mics that you can hope to actually have somewhat of an audience really are an open mic that's popping off, in the sense that 20 people come to play. So if you're at the end of the night, you're messed up. So I'm like, you know what, I already drove out here, just whatever. I'm like, where's the host? And they go, he didn't come. So I'm like, okay, do you care if I just plug into your system and just play? Because they had a separate room where the open mic was supposed to be. And I played to an empty room, you know, for like 45 minutes. And then my mother shows up because stupidly, like an absolute, just an idiotic move, I posted that I was going to be there on Facebook. Now, who cares about that in the area at the time? My mom does. So she came with her friend, and I'm playing in an empty room at this, like, oh, it's like a vape shop / bar. It's just crazy. And
that really shouldn't exist.
No, it's wild. I mean, it's fun, but
it's funny
in a way. But
they still do shows there.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's fun.
Anyway, James and Anthony, our drummer / like producer and mixing engineer and stuff. Yeah, they both came in. They're the only other people that came to the open mic, and so they got to meet my mom. And I was like, "Do you guys care if I just play one more song and then?" You know, if you want, you can play, I guess. And they were both like, yeah, cool. And I really liked that, you know, because it's like this thing of, I already came, I'm just going to go and make music. Like, it fundamentally, that's what all of it is centered around, you know. And James invited me to come up and just jam with them. And so we were just playing together, and it was fun. And I was like, yeah, this is good.
Yeah.
And he just invited me to gigs and stuff, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Taking those uncomfortable steps and doing it anyways.
Right. Yeah, because you don't know. It's, like, just such a stupid gamble. Like, you don't know the night where it's, like, if I hadn't gone out that night, just none of it would have happened, you know?
Right.
It's been really neat, you know? And I'm excited for the future and what we're going to create.
What would you describe as the main themes in your music?
We touch on a lot of subjects. That's a really tough question.
Try to keep it personal.
Maybe like, it's just like love for life and resentment towards it and like all these emotions towards the things that have happened for me, at least it's been like really tough to, I don't know. Each song, I mean, it just reminded me of Way Down, what you were talking about, just doing it anyways, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like sometimes it feels like you got this big weight on your shoulders and you just got to, it doesn't matter if you want to or not. Sometimes you just got to do what you have to, you know, and that's kind of the thing that has like songwriting has been for me is like I got to do this, you know, because I feel so pulled or whatever. So
yeah, intrinsically it's like a kind of a journey.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. People say things like you get successful and then you don't have anything to write about. And I'm like, well, it's not a problem for me yet. So.
You're right.
Right? I don't know.
Well, speaking about the major themes in your music, is it possible two of you could agree on something to play for us right now?
Sure.
Sure.
Did we agree on something earlier? I forget. No, I remember.
Oh, we discussed it. It wasn't that.
Yeah.
It wasn't that one.
I hear musicians tune because they love.
I don't know who said it recently, but I heard someone go, here's how you test to see if you're a songwriter. And they go, now if you heard me knocking, that means you're not a songwriter. But if you heard melodies in your head or words or, you know, percussion or whatever it is, then probably a songwriter.
You do. Okay. Here's a song.
Does he believe in what he sells? A question. Wanna ask yourself, why does he need somebody else if he's got the product sitting on his shelf? He's got a sense of humor, no light in his eyes. He's handing you the ticket to the prize. What's there to lose? It's all the game. If souls are just an oil from a snake, and so you scoff, for it's deranged to think the next in line won't play the game. And you're relieved in what's discussed. The measures bent together don't need trust. What's in your gut? He's got a keen demeanor, a coolness to his guise. You're grateful that it's you that he can fight. Makes it pretty easy to decide. You have to laugh that nothing's spent. This all true is too eager to convince. He almost seems he's heaven sent. All you want in the cuss don't make a dent. And so you sign the dotted line and notice something crawling up your spine.
A new one that Frank just wrote.
Ooh. That's called The Closer.
The Closer.
Yeah, but it's not because it, we wouldn't end a set with it. It's way too low energy. So it's not.
Maybe
it's
in like fine. A jazz club.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Calling all jazz clubs.
But this one is Stumble?
Yeah, we can do that one.
Yeah. I'm open.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious on how it's going to sound. We don't usually get to play acoustics together.
Yeah, it's funny. All right. But if you really just want to let loose, yeah.
I'm sure this is in per. Blissful. I'd like to make that clear. Not trying to make this personal. That's why I'm over here. I think it seems I should just leave it home. Please don't make me do this on my own. On my own. I'm too transfixed. The gentle rhythm of those hips. I see how you hold your heel shows up. When your battling shifts, you make me stumble. Did you mean to make me trip? You make me stumble. If only how you hold your heels up. When your battling shifts, you make me stone. Did you mean to make me trip? You make me stumble. If only I got me for all I need is some relief, so don't keep me in suspension. Do you want me to give you all of my sensitive attention?
Thanks. Well, thank you for listening.
You played Stumble and you played the closer. This actually seems like a great time for you to introduce James and Frank. We're only talking to half of the Red Books right now.
That's very true.
So could you tell us just a little bit about the other half of the band?
They're the nice part of really like
that's true.
Frank and I, we have our, you know, fits and emotional moods and whatever, like we get ups and downs. But they're very stable guys, Stan and Anthony. Stan, his dream is to be a construction worker, and he loves his life, and you can feel it on stage, you can feel it in your interactions with the guy. And then Anthony has a dream, and he is the driving force that is the Red Books. You know, he's definitely like, anytime Frank and I have disagreements, which I love, we have completely different angles approaching, you know, creativity and writing and recording, all the things.
Because it turns out both of you are wrong
about
things.
Yeah.
But you don't realize until you hear somebody else go, you're wrong about that.
And it's nice to hear it from Anthony, because he'll say it really nicely.
Anthony is the decider.
Yeah.
Because he'll just take it in as just unbiased information. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's like so stoic, but in a way that's not like, hyper-masculine or anything. Mm-mm. It's just very secure. Mm-hmm. He's like working with him, like recording with him, it's like hanging out with like a really well-behaved cat or something. It's just the best, honestly.
He does do what he wants. Yeah,
I really, right. He does exactly what he wants, yeah. And it's not in a way that's selfish. It's really interesting. It's really cool. But he's one of my favorite people on the planet that I've ever met. He's a tremendous guy. And Stan's great, too.
What are you guys looking forward to? Do you have any long-term plans for the Red Books?
Yeah, we've definitely been talking about that. I think it's important to have a grounded approach and not get too caught up in the clouds. A lot of people have these ideas of New York and Seattle and like going to Tokyo, you know, and I'm going to make it. And it's like, I don't think I get to make those plans in too specific a way, but I do know where I'd like to end up.
Well, we also know how happy rock stars are.
Right. Well, yeah, that's why you got to keep your circles tight and your friends close and communicate a lot. And
there's something I struggled with, like, philosophically for a long time, was like, why isn't it good enough just to sit in your room if it's really about making music and you're a purist? Why is it not good enough for people to not hear it? And it's like, because you don't exist in and of yourself. I mean, no man is an island or whatever they say. But it is a tree falling in the woods if nobody ever hears it, you know? So,
touching on the string that was throughout of everything you just said and just getting out of your room, you know, I really feel that. I would ask myself that a lot whenever I go to like open mics, and I want to just shout out Brian Engel, Kate, and without Chalice Brewing, the Red Books probably wouldn't be what it is. So it does take, you know, you had a very dense sentence there where you had a lot of different things you were touching on as sayings, you know, for the listeners. Find the thing that gets you out of your room, you know, healthy community, you know. And, yeah, you can't see the outline of me without the environment. So you need your environment. You need your community. A lot of people would think to themselves on a surface level that every artist got there with just their talent. And I think that's a beautiful thought, but it is smoke and mirrors. You know, there's teams and crews, and without teams of people, you don't have artists, you know. That's the venues, that's the security, that's all the products, you know. And I hope that we're able to find all of our people, you know, all of our teams.
If you know that there's something that's supposed to exist within you and you don't do it, then it's not going to exist, and it's just going to, it's like your stomach. Your stomach's just like eating you constantly. You know what I mean? Like, that's why you're able to store up a bunch of fat and stuff. That's been my strategy, is just to store up a lot of fat. Because it's just this thing, like, if you don't give it what it needs, it's going to be worse than just being a broke guy that's making music. You know what I mean? I don't think I'm a good enough person to be a good person if I don't get this done, if that makes any sense.
One, two. I love the view of the mountainside, driving real slow on a gravel road, up and down the decline, the sunrise over the hill, the pines keep my mind still, I got my music in my window down low, listening real close to the Holy Ghost. This is no artificial, no analytical drone. Climb my mind through the smoke.
cause each day has its own. Clear it all, leave it all behind. I'm blessed that the pain don't stop, cause I've got God on my side. There's no need to wish me luck, no, 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 no. Got my music in my window down low, listening real close to the Holy Ghost. I'm caught up in the moment, got me frozen, I am petrified, cause one day I'd know I'll be coming back home.
Holy Ghost. That's right. Ooh.